welcome to the Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com with me, your host, Ekta Batra. This podcast aims to give you an insight on all things pharma and health, from discussing trends in the industry to key issues in health with all the relevant experts. Our guest on today's podcast is Sayan Mukherjee, Managing Director and Head of Equity Research at Nomura. Sayan covers India healthcare and pharma at Nomura as well. He spent over a decade in the Indian equity markets and has been ranked amongst the top three analysts by Indian investors in healthcare for 4 years consecutively. Sayan, hi, welcome to the podcast. Well, Sayan, you know, let's start with the fact that you have looked at earnings over the past so many years. But if you need to narrow down into FY19 and the past two quarters in the pharmaceutical space when it comes to earnings, how have we done?
I think it's a mixed bag. It's very company specific because, you know, the issues that we deal with are very different for each company. As you know, most of the earning negative surprises that we have seen in the past has emanated from the U.S. market. So it all depends on what kind of product portfolio a particular company has. So companies which are where the revenues are driven by a few products or they are a big contributor to revenues, any movement there have a significant impact on earnings. What I would say is, the Street has been expecting negative surprises for quite some time now. So to that extent, I would say that the extent of negative surprises have come down, though I wouldn't say it has, it is completely gone. But I think the severity of erosion that we have seen, the competitive pressures and the impact of channel consolidation, all that fed into negative surprises of earnings have started to cool down somewhat.
Okay. Well, Sayan, you know, that's a broad overview with regards to earnings. But what about the U.S. markets? You did mention that a lot of what we've seen in terms of impact or earnings impact is because of the price pressure in the U.S. and what's been happening there. But if you have to take a larger view in terms of where the U.S. markets stand, where are we today? Are we better than what we were 2 years ago? Or maybe there are more challenges?
No, I think we are better off definitely than what we were 2 years ago because I think the impact of channel consolidation seems to be largely, behind us. We don't expect any further consolidation in the industry. Also, on the competitive side, yes, there is increasing number of players which are coming into the market. But also what we notice is, some of the players are getting a lot more rational. We have seen large generic players actually exiting certain pockets of the market because they feel, those products and segments are not profitable. So that tells you that the industry is in a lot of pain, and therefore from here on, I think things should stabilize. It's a difficult, it's difficult to say whether we would see a kind of, a strength in the U.S. generics that we saw, let's say, between 2010 and 2015. I don't expect that kind of a revival. But at least we can say that we are kind of very close to the bottom. And in general, things are getting a lot more stable in the U.S. generic space.
So should we stop talking about price pressure now? That's probably one of the first questions that come up in every conference call.
Yeah. I mean, we have talked about it a lot. So I don't think we should stop talking about it. But I think at least the awareness and, the impact is well known. And therefore, I think it's all built into the expectations. But I think, going forward, it would be, gradually it will start becoming less important. And, the focus would shift more towards things like, what are the new launches happening, whether or not companies are able to move up the value chain, getting into complex generics, biosimilars, specialty, etc. So that's the transition I see in discussion over the course of the next 1 to 2 years.
What about margins, Sayan? Because a lot of companies are now cost-cutting, say, from the likes of Sun Pharmaceuticals, Dr. Reddy's, the big generic companies such as Mylan, Teva, all of them are undergoing these cost-cutting initiatives to consolidate operations. Is that setting a negative tone in terms of, say, growth not coming back for some time at least?
See, I don't really completely agree with that. I think, what we have to see is that what are the excesses that got created? And my sense is there is a lot of excesses, you know, that is there in the system, because I think typically, you know, when an industry is going through a good cycle, companies tend to be aggressive. They tend to commit a lot of capital on very risky stuff. I think those things are getting calibrated. So I don't think it's necessarily compromising on growth. I think it's a more calibrated and balancing the risk and reward better. And that's what I feel most of the companies are making an effort to. I don't think the expectations would change materially as far as growth is concerned because of the measures that many of the Indian or international companies are taking to get their P&L in shape.
Complex generics, a lot of hope was put on, say, for example, Sun Pharmaceuticals specialty pipeline and, you know, the kind of launches that they would have in FY19, FY20. But in the quarter gone by, a lot of the street expectations have reduced in terms of what the specialty product pipeline could entail. So how does one decide that, the company to back would be the one with the specialty product pipeline, and that is the one which is going to give sufficient growth going forward? How does one choose, Sayan?
I think one thing which I feel pretty convinced about, given the competitive dynamics, that if you are stuck with vanilla generics, growth can be really difficult. What we talked about is, yes, I mean, we will see the pricing pressure kind of bottoming out, but what about growth? Because, you know, for most of the new generic launches, you're seeing so many players, coming into the market. And that's where the problem is, that, you know, you don't get that kind of an upside which you used to get a few years back. So I think it is imperative for all these companies to move beyond vanilla generics into complex products and into specialty. Now, as far as those areas are concerned, I agree there are risks. They are not as simple as vanilla generics. But at the same time, the rewards can be substantial. You know, it would be probably not right or correct to kind of look at a window of just a quarter or a couple of quarters to judge the, you know, ultimate impact of these launches and initiatives by these companies. I think we have to give it time. Unfortunately, it won't happen very quickly. So some of the, you know, these complex or specialty products particularly, it takes 3 to 5 years to get to the peak sales, right? And in the course of the time, there will be a point where you will see an inflection. Unfortunately, we don't know when that would happen because it requires market creation, acceptability in the market, support from the insurance and formularies. All that is a time-consuming process. And, you know, with time, when people start using it, using the product, you know, the acceptability keeps rising. So I think the growth or the dynamics or the trajectory of sales for specialty is very, very different from what you see in generics, where on day one, actually, you make most of the sales, right? So I think it's a new paradigm. And I think we as analysts and the street, I think we need to get used to this new paradigm. And it would be, I think, as I said, incorrect to kind of, you know, take a call just based on one quarter. So I still remain quite hopeful on these initiatives. Of course, you know, you have to evaluate each of the products independently and see what the market potential is. In general, I would say, some of the products which I see in the pipeline of Indian companies which we cover, I find them exciting, interesting, and it can be a very significant driver for growth. You know, remember, the expenses are all in the P&L today. You know, the costs related to development, manufacturing, or other overheads like SG&A, et cetera, are all going through the P&L. So the kind of leverage that you would see playing out as these products ramp up could be quite significant. So from the overall growth perspective in the U.S., particularly earnings growth, I think this can be a very important driver over the next couple of years. So I am quite hopeful and, you know, not really writing off based on, you know, as you said, a quarter which may not have lived up to the expectations.
Okay, so that point's taken. You need to have maybe a longer term perspective when you look at complex and specialty pipelines for companies. But which one do you think, or which company do you think is best placed at current levels to monetize the opportunity over this period of time that you mentioned, 3 to 5 years?
So as far as, specialty particularly is concerned, I think the companies in our coverage universe which have invested significantly are Sun Pharma, Dr. Reddy's, Lupin and Glenmark. I think each of these companies have products which can be quite meaningful, and that can play out, depending on which company you're talking about, over the next 2 to 5 years. So I think each one of them have potential, and there are specific assets which, if I may say, can be game changer or a material contributor to earnings growth. So these will be the four names in our coverage where we think the significant investments have gone into specialty, and we need to look forward to that.
Sain, the other big issue which, we cannot stop talking about, though it seems to have abated or maybe reversed a little bit, is this entire US FDA regulatory overhang that many companies suffer from. This year has been, in fact, quite positive when it's come to US FDA issues. For example, Halol, even Indico Remedies recently. Do you think that we've probably crossed the hump of the worst when it comes to US FDA regulatory issues, the data integrity observations?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, I think the industry has come a long way. They have learned what needs to be done. Of course, the FDA had, in the past raised the bar quite significantly, and many of the incumbent companies were caught off guard. And I think it has been taken up very seriously by all the management. And I think, there has been a lot of learning which has happened. I do think that, if you look at the kind of observations also, there still are observations, but, when you look at, I think the nature of them are quite different from what we used to see a few years back. So, things like the data integrity or robustness of the procedures, et cetera, are being kind of followed, or at least there is an intent to kind of implement that. There could always be some slippages, but I think given the intent and the focus, I think the worst is behind us, and we would probably see, much more positive news going forward rather than the kind of overhang we had in the past surrounding inspections.
Is there also a better understanding that, say, for example, a plant such as Halol, which had its warning letter lifted, is going to see multiple re-inspections from the US FDA? But even though it's a normal product-specific inspection, the street is always worried, Sain. Do you think that the market needs to understand a little better, or have they already understood a little better that this is normal, routine, and that life goes on?
See, what FDA is thinking and what their processes are not very transparent, but based on the public disclosures, what I understand is, US FDA categorizes different plants based on the severity and past track record. So you would see more intensity of inspection. Let's say earlier we were expecting an inspection every couple of years. Maybe you will see now happening every year. That kind of a change in frequency is likely, particularly for plants which had historical issues or which are dealing with complex products where slippages are likely to be higher. So I think, that's something which we have to, because, FDA is also staffed better now, so they can carry inspections at a more frequent, in higher frequency. So that's what we are seeing now. But in terms of the inspection outcomes, I think that's not likely to be, as severe as it used to be in the past.
The other issue which has impacted pharmaceutical stocks, a few of them recently, is this whole corporate governance problem which has come up, and, some issues in the annual report, for example, for Sun Pharma. Would that change your thesis at all? And is that changing your client's thesis towards the company as well?
See, corporate governance is an ongoing thing, right? I don't think, frankly, it's an issue which has kind of come up suddenly. I think, every company, when we look at and evaluate, I think corporate governance, in a way, do form a factor which one needs to look at. But, otherwise, I think the business is pretty transparent in the sense that, it's a regulated industry. So you are, selling the products in a regulated market, going through all the regulatory procedures. So from a business perspective, I don't think there are many issues that come up. But yes, on the way you account things, and those kind of issues, which I think is, something which can impact any company across sectors. So So that I don't think is something which is a sudden development or, you know, something new that we need to focus on. Actually, I think the street and investors have been focusing on this for quite some time.
What about maybe another issue such as, say, the CFO of Lupin leaving the company? Do you think that stirs sentiment, or is there a fundamental change which would follow as well?
So, I mean, not really commenting on specific case, but, you know, the fact is, this industry is not that, people dependent. You know, it's very process oriented. So I think, and in many cases, you have the key decision makers and drivers of the promoters of the businesses. So I think professionals do move out, based on opportunities that they get. So I won't really, read into too much about, senior level movements.
I just want to come back to the US FDA issue, because I just thought of the Dovada facility sign with Dr. Reddy's. I think the street seems to be worried that is it going to see the light of day, or is there going to be an escalation beyond what we've seen? Because it's going on, this issue's been going on since 2015, and it's an injectable problem. So is that the reason that we're not seeing any sort of constructive remediation for that particular facility? And would you even factor it into your estimates, say, for FY20?
So, as you said, Dovada had observations. They had, I think, 8 observations in the last inspection. We looked at them, and our analysis do suggest there is improvement from the issues that we had in the past. It's a CGMP issue, which is, I think, addressable. But, yeah, I mean, there is an improvement, but probably not up to the level which would allow this plant to get cleared immediately. So there are observations which need to be addressed. But I think the whole process of remediation is on the right track. Very difficult to kind of pinpoint timelines, right, with the FDA as to when this whole issue will get resolved. Our understanding is, particularly with Dovada site, there are not major approvals which are pending this fiscal or the next fiscal. But yes, beyond that, there could be some important approvals from those sites. And therefore, if it gets delayed further, the company may have to look at alternatives like site transfers, etc. So at this point in time, we have taken a view that, as a base case, obviously there are risks to that, but as a base case, based on our reading of the observations and the way things have moved so far, it may take some time for resolutions, but we do not expect an escalation and therefore to have any material negative impact on our estimates for, let's say, fiscal 19 and fiscal 20.
So in that sense, would IPCA as well as, say, a Lupin be the dark horse options when it comes to that upside from, say, a resolution of US FDA issues going into next year or going into FY20?
Yeah, so on IPCA, for instance, as a base case, we haven't factored in a resolution. And I think the reason is what we have experienced in case of Dr. Reddy's Srikakulam site is, I think when you have data integrity issues in the past, I think the kind of rigor that FDA goes through is quite a lot, right? They do ask for data which dates back to many, many years and keep generating that data. Frankly, it's very difficult for us to take a call on that kind of the timeline for resolution. So IPCA is a situation where we haven't factored in. As far as Lupin is concerned, I think the past observations are not related to data integrity. I think those are more resolvable. And I expect that in the next 12 months, once they go through the inspection, there may be a few observations which they rectify. It should be something which can potentially get resolved, faster. So that's our base case assumptions for these two companies at this point.
Would you choose a company which is more focused towards, say, the India market, for example, Torrent after the Unichem acquisition?
So yeah, we like Torrent, and one of the key primary reason was the focus on India. So I think India business, does provide long-term growth potential. There are regulatory challenges, as you know, in terms of price control, the ban on fixed-dose combinations, or maybe some other regulatory measures which the agencies can come up with. But I think the penetration levels, particularly in chronic segments, are quite low, and therefore it gives a it gives a runway for growth for many years for these companies. So we are quite constructive on that space. But having said that, I think, I'm not saying that one shouldn't look at the U.S. plays as well, at this point, because the fact is there is a lot of pessimism around U.S. and a lot of people are generally very conservative, right? So you see that getting reflected in the stock prices. The fact is U.S. is a large market. And, the value that you can derive from a product in the U.S. is quite large and is quite meaningful given where the market cap of some of the companies are. Given the fact that there are, as we talked about, the new initiatives around complex generics and specialty, which can have a very significant impact on earnings, we are not ignoring that part as well. And by the way, many of these companies which have a large U.S. presence also do have a solid domestic business as well. And increasingly, I think they are focusing a lot more on India than they used to do in the past, so which is a good thing. So there is value even coming from the India businesses for some of these companies which are exposed to the U.S. as well.
Talking about the India business, Apollo Hospitals has done well, Sayan, in the past two quarters odd. Do you think that maybe the hospital business would be an opportunity? And your thoughts on companies such as Fortis, which would now have new owners as well?
So we like both the companies, have a buy rating on both these names. And I think what we are looking forward to is that we had investment cycle behind us. It's about, the capacity utilization going up. As a result, the margins are improving. And that's what we are looking forward to. I think we had a phase in the last few years where there were pressures on the business, competitive pressures because of maybe there's a lot of availability of PE funding, a lot of hospital beds coming up on key areas, and you had the issues of price control, for example, in knee implants and stents, which had a negative impact on the financials of these companies. I think most of these issues are behind us. Now we are entering into a consolidation phase. So the new hospitals, the losses of the new hospitals should start to come off as beds get filled. Even the existing hospitals, the utilization levels are not very high. It's around 60-70% in most cases. Mm-hmm. And it's the operating leverage because you have the fixed cost there. So our expectations is that your margins will start to move up, quarter by quarter as the occupancies move up. So that's the expectation we have. And, obviously, healthcare does present a long-term growth potential in India. So in that context, I think it would be quite interesting in the next couple of years to see these companies deliver normalized, earnings or EBITDA margin. Hmm. Of course, IHH, IHH acquisition of Fortis is a different situation where, under the new owner, I think there would be more stability. Fortis has seen a lot of uncertainties in the past, and that had an impact on the business performance. Hmm. So if you look at the last few quarters, it was, a weak quarter. You have seen fall in margins. But I think stability should emerge, and we are not so deterred by the situation that we see at this point. So yes, I think both these hospital names we would recommend, and we have a buy rating there.
And diagnostics, has the sheen come off there from those high subscription levels that we saw during the IPO? The managements have mentioned that there is competition which we are facing in the diagnostic space. So do you expect growth levels to come off?
It does come off, Ekta. I think, again, just like hospitals, I think we have seen competition in diagnostics. Smaller chains, smaller players came and competed in that space. We have seen severe pressure in, for instance, the B2B segment. I think the intensity of competition is gradually coming down. That's what we see, right, at this point in time. So my sense is that, we have seen slower growth in the past. Going forward, I think the growth is likely to inch up. I'm not sure whether we will go back to that, 20% plus consistent growth that we have seen, but we should somewhere be in, mid to high teens for these companies as far as growth is concerned.
Okay.
So the outlook is definitely better than what we have seen in the recent past.
Okay. So, Sayan, just before we wrap up, if you had to maybe have this conversation with me a year down the line, Where do you think we would be in terms of stocks and maybe the key industry trend that we'd be talking about then?
I think the conversation would be a lot different, and I think the questions would be a lot different. I think there would be a lot of focus on, the transition of Indian pharma from being a vanilla generics to be able to play in the complex and specialty space. I think the visibility around some of those things will start to emerge in a quite a significant manner. Also, I think what we talked about, the cost control part of it, that's something which will probably, come to, in a more clearer way by in the next 1 year. And as far as industry dynamics is concerned, at least it would stabilize. We could see market share shifts, as far as the U.S. is concerned. So I think a lot of these dynamics, what I'm saying is around the U.S. market. I think that would be the key change that I would look forward to over the next 1 year. The rest of the markets, I think, would more or less, like if you talk about India and other emerging markets, I am expecting it to hold steady in the course of the next 1 year.
We're transitioning fast enough. Indian companies are taking that next step fast enough.
So, if you look at, just to give you specific examples, right, look at like Sun Pharma, right? They have launched Ilumya in the U.S. They're going to launch Cequa sometime this year, maybe in the fourth quarter. So these things you will be seeing in the market, right? So I think the traction levels we will see will start getting visible a lot more down the line. Similarly, you have Solosec, right? Solosec for Lupin, which has seen, a few months of sales now. And, the kind of inflection that the company is talking about or we are expecting would be a lot more visible next year. Similarly, for Dr. Reddy's, their key product, they have a few small, specialty products in the market currently. But the key one, which holds the key to transform the business is DFN-02, which is coming up for approval in January next year. So in 1 year's time, all these products will be in the market. And because these products have the ability to significantly impact your earnings. Because the cost associated are already in the P&L today. So I think it would be fast enough because the impact on earnings, I think, are very significant. So I think if you give one more year, you will end up talking a lot more about, these opportunities is what I think.
And we would be talking about a tender market recovery?
I don't know. I think, I don't know. So the tender market is very difficult to call, Ekta. I think... as you're aware, you see the dynamics of tender is like, either you win or you lose, right? Your market share and pricing can shift quite dramatically. So we are not very convinced or don't have any visibility on how that thing would emerge. And then there are additional issues on funding, whether it's government funding or funding from global agencies. Even I don't have any visibility on them as to how that those things are going to emerge. Given all the other macroeconomic challenges that we face globally, right? So, frankly, no visibility on that side of the business. So, I would continue to remain cautious. I would like to see things improving on ground, some comfort from the management before getting really positive there.
Okay. All right, Sayan. On that note, we're going to wrap up this conversation. It was a pleasure speaking with you on the Medicine Box, and we hope to talk to you very soon again and probably reassess where exactly the trends in the pharmaceutical industry as well as the healthcare space stand. Thanks very much for joining in today.